This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about anxiety. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Working from home has been exhausting for lots of people, feeling isolated and stressed, like there's no distinction between the office and home. We've heard that story over and over, but there's another, quieter story, the story of those who found unexpected relief working from home, relief from something they hadn't even realized was draining them. Reporter Jad Slaman has more. And just a note, the people he talked to for this story didn't want to use their last names, since it seems like returning to the office is a hot-button topic in a lot of workplaces right now.
It was the little things that were the most horrible for me. Pre-pandemic, I'm in this oppressively long hallway we have back at the office, walk into the bathroom, and then there they are, a person I kind of know, way at the other end, and they're walking in my direction. They've seen me, and they know I've seen them. But neither of us acknowledge this. Instead, it begins. The countdown as the gap between us closes. The question asked and asked again with every step closer. At what distance will it not be weird to wave or nod or say what's up? Is it weird that I'm pretending not to see them until that moment? I can't just yell hello from 40 feet away. If I wave, maybe they won't see it, and then I'll have been left hanging. Whoa, just look at the old phone for a bit. What's up, bro? Hey, dude. Another successful human acquaintance interaction. Some listeners are probably scratching their heads at this, like, okay, what's the big deal? But some of you, you know what I'm talking about. It's people dealing with people.
I like people, right?
That's one of us, Amy. She works in media.
I just don't like all the work it takes to be around people. So I hope I'll be able to continue to create a balance.
Amy describes herself as an introvert who has learned to be extroverted, a skill she knows how to use but has to work at. For her, the pandemic was a break from the little bits of social interaction we never realized were so subtly stressful.
Did I say something weird at lunch? And, you know, oh my God, does that person just not like me? Or that I've worked here for 2 years and they didn't acknowledge me today? Does that mean they didn't? Whatever it is, it's the social anxiety part of work. I don't think any of us realized how much we were squeezing out of our mental sort of sponge until we're home and get to feel it.
This constant anxious churn over stuff that doesn't matter. Amy didn't notice how much of a toll it was taking on her until it was gone. Until she no longer had to wear what she calls these masks.
There are a lot of these social masks that we wear in the office, whether it's code switching or clothes we wear or makeup or how we present ourselves that you don't have to do in the privacy of your own home.
Amy wasn't really herself at work.
In an office, I'm loud, I'm aggressive, I'm noisy, I'm annoying as shit. And I recognize now how much of that is related to anxiety.
Just talking to fill up dead air. A performance for people who may or may not actually be watching. In the office, it can feel like eyes are always on you, especially in an open office.
Oh my goodness, it makes it worse because there's nowhere to hide.
Amy remembers the strange relief she got when an office manager added a beautiful, merciful, extra wall to her cubicle. Now, people could only see her from one direction.
Do you know how much it helped me to have that little second wall there? So I had a little cubby and I felt like I could hide out.
Everything Amy's saying speaks to me, and probably to some of you. When we went to work from home, we were suddenly no longer spending all this energy just being in some place with others for hours every day.
It just seemed like there were just too many channels of communication that I had to manage, and then that would just become very exhausting for me.
That's Karen. She works in finance. People in the office weren't just a source of stress. To her, they were work.
I think the term is an ambivert, probably, where I can find social interactions to be very exhausting.
The social interactions in the office added up, and they tapped out what Karen called her social energy meter. By the time she got home, she felt like she had nothing left. That changed this past year.
I've kind of socialize more with, you know, the people in my neighborhood or with my family, or made more of an effort to be in touch with my friends, you know, on a deeper level, because I wasn't, you know, like I said, my social energy meter can tap out. So if I'm spending all of that energy with the people I work with, then it leaves less of that for the people I live near and care deeply about.
I talked about all this with Jyoti Samra, a Canadian clinical psychologist who specializes in mental health issues in the workplace.
Let's talk about anxiety specifically, because one of the most marked areas of increase that we have seen since the pandemic hit has been a massive uptick in anxiety. And in fact, some of our stats will tell us that anxiety rates have quadrupled collectively. Now, what that misses is the fact that there are certain individuals and subgroups that have actually found counterintuitively the opposite, where anxiety has gone down.
She's seen them trickle into her practice, these lucky few, all of them surprised to be feeling better.
It has been actually quite stunning and unexpected initially to see, you know, people coming in and saying, my anxiety's actually reduced, being at home has, you know, I'm embracing it.
Could some people find relief from their anxiety simply by working from home instead of an office?
You know, do I see that as a standalone prescription? Probably not, because I'd say for most people, it's not as simple as just the work environment.
It can help, she says, but it's a bit of a chicken and egg thing. Like, is your work making you anxious, or were you anxious before you walked in, and so now work feels like the cause? Jyoti thinks it's a bit of both. You don't leave your psychology at the door when you walk into work, and you don't leave your work at work when you go home. But she does think that we need to think more carefully before pathologizing a normal human reaction to the absurdities of an open office floor plan where everyone hears everyone's conversations, like it or not, and your coworkers know how often you go to the bathroom.
We're creatures of habit, and we kind of get used to things the way that they are. And so what that means is, you know, whether it's high multiple stressors, whether it's things that are in the background that might be negatively contributing to mood, what happens is we kind of just get used to it the way that it is.
That was true for me and Amy, the media worker grateful for the extra cubicle wall. She talks about the exhaustion of what she calls the daily public performance at an office.
By the time you get home, it's like, ugh. And there are people who do it every day for years and decades. And, you know, so a lot of it for me was just saying, everybody does this, just suck it up. You have to drive an hour, you get to your job, you do your job, you go home. And it stinks. And everybody, it stinks for everybody, not just you.
Amy hasn't had to deal with that for months. She makes more time for herself and for her family. More of her energy goes to that instead of to the little stressors of office life. Jyoti tells me most people she's heard from don't want total work from home, though. More some kind of balance, a middle ground where you go in here and there. Amy, amid her at-home bliss, told me about the same thing.
So I hope I'll be able to continue to create a balance. But if left to my own devices, I will self-isolate, and then that's not healthy either. So it's good to be pushed a little bit.
For The Pulse, I'm Jad Slaman.